Sean, before we really get rolling here on this episode, I think we both have to tip the cap, our caps that we're not wearing, but let's say we are, to Alex Ovechkin. 13 40-goal seasons in the National Hockey League. He has now a record ahead of Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky had the record, and Alex Ovechkin now owns it for himself. And eventually, I think he'll own the big one, the goal-scoring record. But 13 40-goal seasons. Ovechkin, we're recording this on Wednesday. He got to 40 for the Washington Capitals in a loss against the Columbus Blue Jackets on Tuesday night. There are no words. I mean, it's remarkable that he continues to do this. He's 37 years old. It's fascinating. It's brilliant for hockey, and he is certainly a machine.
How many times do you want me to tip my hat to Alex Ovechkin?
Well, how many hats you got?
Well, I got a lot of hats, dude.
There you go. And you wear a lot of hats, too.
I got all kinds of hats. I got chapeaus. I got baseball hats. I got bowlers. You name it, I got it. And I tip them all to Alex. What he's done is just unbelievable. And he does it on a night there honoring him for passing Gordie Howe on the goals list, which was a really cool ceremony. I just think, you know, he has a sense of the dramatic. His team's trying to get in the playoffs. They're not doing a very good job of it. They end up losing that game 7-6 last night in overtime. They take a point when they needed two, which I think is the thing that he'll probably take out of that night more than anything, which is a little unfortunate. And they continue to fall a little further by the wayside. But we've never seen a goal scorer like Alex Ovechkin. I don't care that Wayne Gretzky's ahead of him. I don't think Wayne Gretzky was the goal scorer that Alex is.
No, he's a pure natural goal scorer, gifted natural goal scorer. Here's the thing. He's, I think, 74 goals back now from Wayne Gretzky. He's got 820, right? So he's going to get a couple more this season. He could finish this season 170 goal season away from Wayne Gretzky. I wouldn't bet on it. I don't think it's likely. But would you put it past Alex Ovechkin to break this record next season?
Yes.
All right. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yes. He's not even going to get to 50 this year. And there's only probably five guys that will get to 50. They're all much younger. And I don't, there's no way. I would love to say yes, and we could spend the whole summer building it up. And, you know, next year's the year of Ovi, but it's going to take 2 years.
Yeah, you're right. It's going to take 2 years, but it's fun that we're even talking about it. You know, look, I mean, 13 40-goal seasons. It's remarkable. So got to tip the cap to Alex Ovechkin. As we continue on here, we're going to have Dominic Moore, former NHL player, played almost 900 games in the leagues, doesn't work with ESPN now, and also the NHL Mashup, a YouTube show that he does with Catherine Tappan. They're going on to episode 3 now. Dom Moore is going to be joining us to kind of go around the league in a little bit here, Sean. But let's do that a little on our own here with the Colorado. So again, we're recording this Wednesday. The Colorado Avalanche tonight are playing the Pittsburgh Penguins, two teams that couldn't be going in opposite directions, further away from each other than these two teams. So let's start with Colorado. Jared Bednar gets the 3-year contract extension, well worth it. As we speak, they've won 6 in a row. We'll see what goes on against the Penguins, but it's the way they're playing, how they're doing it. And if you go back, this goes deep, Sean. I mean, we're talking about a team that's got 21 wins in its last 29 games. And with all the injuries that they have, it's this team is setting itself up. They could finish first in the Central Division. Despite all these injuries, it really goes to show you, I think, what a good team they have, but what a terrific coaching job Jared Bednar continues to do, and well worth it. And the timing is great because we can talk about the Avalanche in this positive way for him to get that 3-year extension.
So my first question is, when is the Super 16 panel going to doff their caps to me?
So the Super 16 is weekly, right? It is a weekly thing. And I understand your philosophy on this, but you were ranking Colorado really, really high. Right, you've been ranking them quite high but then you dropped them. You dropped them, and we talked about this last week. I believe it was last week. And now, since you've dropped them, they've taken off. I know how you feel about the Avalanche. I think you know how I feel about the Avalanche. But you also have to win the games. You also have to go out there and perform. And for a while there, they were hit and miss. They really were, and the injuries were the biggest reason why. So, you know, I had them more in that 10, 11 range, you know, that they were still high, but you could have made an argument that they would have been 14, 15 or 16 because they weren't winning enough games. They weren't winning like some of the other teams. But now I think I put them at, I believe I have them at five this week. Maybe three this week.
You could never make the argument that they were 14, 15, 16. They're one of the best teams in the league. Look, this is the way I look at it. They have two of the best forwards in the game. McKinnon might be the best forward in the game all around, although the NHLPA player poll just said that it was Wayne Gretzky. But I mean,
Sidney Crosby, not Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, it was Wayne Gretzky.
I mean, it still could be. We don't know.
Yeah, historically, but Sidney Crosby. But look, I would argue, especially in a playoff game, that maybe McKinnon is better than Connor McDavid. Right. So the two of the best forwards, they have the best defenseman in the league in Cale Makar. They have an above average goalie, at least this year. And they probably have the second best coach in the league behind John Cooper and Bednar. So all the pieces are there. Plus, they have experience. To me, they've been an elite team all year. Like, you can look at the results and say, oh, the results aren't good enough, but you look at that team and their potential and how they could ever not be a top eight team in this league in any power poll is beyond me.
Well, because I think the word was potential, right? I mean, we kept talking about the Avalanche, the defending champs, the potential that they have. Oh, but the injuries, but the potential that they have. And for a number of days there, they weren't even in a playoff position. So, yeah, I agree with you. In a power ranking poll, you could have made that. You can make that argument to put them there in the top eight all season long. But the results also matter. Their results were not great for a while, but they're really good right now. You mentioned an above average. Just like I said
they would be.
Yes, just as you said they would be, except when you dropped them. But we'll just move on from that. You still had them in the top eight, though. Even when you dropped them, you still had them in the top eight. But you mentioned Georgiev, Alexander Georgiev, you called him an above average goalie. I gotta admit, I thought it was a below average goalie when with the Rangers. Like, I didn't even think he was that great of a backup. He was okay. He was a good backup. He had a sub 900 save percentage last year. I didn't mind the move for the Avalanche to get a goalie like that because, look, they just won with Darcy Kemper, who was an above average goaltender, right? Average to above average goaltender. This is a team that plays really well around its goaltender. It very rarely relies on its goaltender to win games for it, but it helps its goaltender win games. And I thought Georgiev could be a really good fit there for that reason. He's not a top-end goalie in the league, but he's really played like a top-end goalie in the league. And maybe that is a result of the team. He's certainly, you know, around him, but they've had so many injuries and he's been able to withstand all that. And he's doing it he's never played more than 30 some odd games in a season. Now he's over 50. He deserves credit. And I got to tell you, I mean, like I was wrong. Like I didn't think he could be a top number one goalie in the league for a contending team. He is. It's exactly what he is.
You know what the hardest job in hockey is?
Backup goalie. Yeah.
Never judge a goalie ever on being a backup. It is the hardest thing in the world to do. You don't get any rhythm, you know, goalies that are used to rhythm play, because every goalie is a great goalie till they get to the NHL and then they become backups because they're not as good as Henrik Lundqvist or Igor Shesterkin or in UC Saros' case, Pekka Rene. Like, to be a backup goalie is incredibly hard because you don't get the reps that you need. You don't get the confidence that you need. You have a good game and then you sit for four. You have a bad game and then it just runs around in your head. You never get the chance to excise it the next day like a starting goalie. You don't get any of the work that the starter gets. So I always try and not judge backup goalies by their numbers. You know, it's more the eye test of what they're doing. I always thought that he had the potential to be a good goalie. I don't know that it was as good as it is, but I also think there's teams in this league where you can be a better goalie than maybe you are. Linus Ullmark's having a fantastic year. I think the Boston Bruins have helped him to a degree have a fantastic year. There's five goalies in Vegas that are playing out of their heads. Part of that is because of Bruce Cassidy's system, right? Like there are certain teams that are really responsible around their own goal, and the system that they play allows, you know, cleaner shots, you know, better vision, all of those things. And it allows them to be the opposite of John Gibson, who is just out on an island every night doing heroic things, and everybody thinks he stinks and he's washed up. You know, you put him on one of these teams, you put him on Colorado, he would be an all-star goalie. So Georgiev gets a lot of credit, but I also do think that the Avalanche have helped him. And I think the most important point you raised is he's never played more than 30 games.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to have to run him 50 during the regular season, and then up to 25 probably during the playoffs if you have ideas of repeating. That's a lot of hockey. That's a lot from a little. Like, that's not some, that's another thing that's really hard about making that transition. You don't make it easily. It starts to wear on you, the wear and tear. And they've had to use him more than they've wanted to because of injuries. And you know, I thought it was going to be more of a pure tandem. And then Francois got hurt, and he's had to go a little bit more than he wanted to. You know, I think you've seen a little bit of it with Vanacek in New Jersey. He's just gotten tired. And as he gets rest, he comes back better. But then they try and ride him for 3, 4, 5 games, and he starts to fade again. So there's going to have to be some load management here for some teams. And there are teams, unfortunately, unlike the Bruins, that aren't in a position to say, you know, we're going to sit our guy. Florida did it last night. They sat Bobrovsky finally, and they lose to Philadelphia. So it's a really delicate balancing act for a lot of coaches right now.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I remember the Nashville Predators came to Madison Square Garden on Sunday. It was a back-to-back, and I asked John Hines, who's the starting goalie, and he said Kevin Lankinen. I said, I was wondering if you'd go back to Saros, even though it's a back-to-back, just simply because of how valuable the points are. He said, no, Lankinen's been playing well. Lankinen made one save, give up 4 goals. You know, it was like, you know, they lose 7-0 in the game, right? I mean, it's a one-off. I get it. It is.
Yeah, Roman Josi was missing. Let's not forget that.
Roman Josi was missing. Philip Forsberg's not playing. They traded Mikael Granlund. Ryan Johansson's not playing. I mean, they had half of an AHL lineup.
McDonough wasn't playing. They didn't have the top four defensemen at the start of the year.
Yeah, and they didn't. They traded Ekholm. I mean, I get it. This is not all on Lankinen, though he wasn't very good. It's still no. I mean, but that's a tangent from what we were talking about here with Georgiev. The interesting thing, and you brought it up, right? So the Avalanche are trying, would love to finish first in that division. And it's key, right? I mean, you finish first in that division, you avoid Dallas and Minnesota in the first round. You play a team maybe like Winnipeg, who's really been struggling. Or if they don't get in, maybe you play a Nashville team that could still be banged up if they do get in, or a Calgary team that's been quite inconsistent, or Seattle, which is their first go round in the playoffs, right? So you want to finish first in that division. But if you're Colorado, how far do you push your goalie? 13 games left. They do have 2 in hand on the other teams, Dallas and Minnesota. How far do you push? And does it matter as much to you? Similar along the lines of like that Tampa Bay philosophy. And we'll talk to Dom Moore about that too. When he comes on here in a few minutes, that the philosophy of, you know what? We believe in ourselves. It doesn't matter who we play. An easier opponent would be Winnipeg or Nashville or Calgary or Seattle than Dallas or Minnesota. But Colorado might just say, you know what? Doesn't matter to us. You know, we're not going to push ourselves that much to do it and push the goalie that much because we want to have enough in the tank to beat who, because we believe we can beat whoever we play anyway.
Yeah, I think there's some of that. And last year's a little fuzzy, but I don't believe that Colorado went to a game 7 where home ice would have mattered in any series. That's really all it's about. But you keep talking about winning the division. They could win the conference.
Well, the conference is wild.
Conference, and then you're the top seed and you have home ice no matter who you play, right? If you end up playing Vegas in the conference finals, you're at home for 4 of the 7 games. Like, I think that's an advantage. So yeah, those are tangible things you have to think about. And I think that's what makes coaching difficult. You brought up the Lankinen thing, and I'm sure everybody in Nashville was like, play the Vezina Trophy candidate. Like, what are you doing? We need these points. What if he gets hurt? What if you ride him into the ground? Like, those are things you have to think about, and coaches have a plan. Like, that's the thing when fans or we look at it from the outside, how is he not doing this? Like, there was a plan set up a month ago, and they don't really want to deviate from that because of the reasons that we talked about, just the wear and tear. And you can see it across the league. Like I said, to me, like Vanacek hasn't been nearly as good as he was earlier in the year, and it's because Blackwood got hurt, and they really had to run him harder than I think they wanted to, and he just started to wear down a little bit.
I mean, you hear coaches talk about that a lot, and a lot of times they say they don't know anything about goalies, so they trust their goalie coach, and the goalie coach makes the plan, and he makes the schedule, and they kind of live by that. So we'll see where it goes. All right, so the team, before we get to Don Moore, the team that the Avalanche are playing tonight in a few hours from now from when we're recording, but in the bigger picture is the Pittsburgh Penguins, who's struggling, and they haven't missed the playoffs since Sidney Crosby's rookie year, 2005-06. That's very much in jeopardy. That streak is very much in jeopardy right now with the way they're playing and the injuries that they're dealing with. The injuries on the back end are killer. They're a killer for this team right now. It seems like every game they lose a new defenseman, whether it's Petrie or Ruda or Marcus Pettersson. I don't know, Sean. Like, I am going to stick with it that until Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Chris Letang are not in the playoffs, day one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, I'm going to continue to believe that they'll find their way, because why wouldn't I, right? But this is the first time that I've seen in a long time that I can remember that I've really seen this Penguins team with those guys in serious jeopardy this late in the season. They've been up and down all season. They've been very inconsistent. Well, they've been consistently inconsistent. I mean, they go on a run where they win like four in a row and 6 of 7 or 7 out of 10. Then they go on a run like they're kind of on right now, where it doesn't seem like anything they do works, and they're banged up and they're injured, and it's got cold at the wrong time. And I don't know if they can turn it around. I really don't, with the injuries that they have.
Yeah, no, it scares me. The results scare me. You use Jeopardy so many times, by the way. I have the Greg Kinn Jeopardy song banging around in my head now, and I can't even think. But some of the results scare me. It's not even that they're losing. It's the way that they're losing. It's the fact that they're not competitive in some games. You know, Sidney Crosby is still dragging that team on his back. You know, him and Malkin are probably combined in 70% of the points that they score at this point. There's very little depth evident in trying to help them. You know, Chris Letang is playing monster minutes because of all the injuries that you talked about. Their goaltending has not helped them at all. They can't find a goalie that they trust. Neither Jarry nor DeSmith is really been a guy that you can throw out there and say, I don't even have to think about this. I know this guy's going to give us our best game. Like, they worry about their goalie every night. And I think that affects a team, right? We've seen it before. When you don't trust your goalie, you try and do too much and then you don't do enough. So yeah, I'm nervous about the Penguins for sure. They're a team that I believed would always get in. I actually left them out of my Super 16 this week. I think it's the first time all year I've done it, you know, because I've always believed in them. But the picture right now is not rosy at all.
Nobody put them in the Sweet 16 this week, by the way. They got zero.
Super 16.
Super 16.
NCAA basketball on your head.
Super 16. Nobody put them in the Super 16 this week, which is not surprising. I don't think they necessarily belong in the Super 16, you know, this week, the way they've been playing. And the additions, right? Mikael Granlund's got 2 points in 9 games since he's come over. Really hasn't been much of a factor. Nick Bonino's not playing right now because of an injury. Jeff Carter, who they need to rely on, has like 3 goals in 2023. You know, he's not doing anything except really committing some penalties that are costly for them. It's no depth. They have no depth scoring. It's been the problem for them all season. Zero depth scoring. And when you don't have depth scoring, you are going to go hot and cold. That's exactly how this team has been. And they want to trust Tristan Jarry. And Tristan Jarry, I mean, I thought that the games in New York last week were perfect examples of where they are with Tristan Jarry right now. He comes in and plays a real strong game Thursday night at Madison Square Garden. The Penguins lose it 4-2, but he was good. He was really solid. It was one of his better games in a long time. So they run him back out there Saturday night, 2 days later. He was just not good, and he got pulled in the second period, allowed 4 goals on 17 shots. So that's kind of the Penguins, and that's been Tristan Jarry, and that's not a playoff team. That's just not a playoff team when you play that hot and cold.
Well, we're going to ask Don Moore about that in a minute. But before we go to there, you mentioned the Sweet 16.
Don't do this to me.
So I just want to ask you about how you feel about Arizona.
All right. Well, Don Moore was kind enough to join us. As you can see, I'm just completely avoiding Sean right now. I'm not even going to answer. I'm not even going to justify it, really. Don Moore was kind enough to join us. ESPN does a lot of work for them. Does the NHL mashup on the YouTube show. Sean, you can try to rip me on the Arizona thing on the other side of this interview with Don Moore. Dom, thanks so much for jumping on with us. I actually wanted to take it right to something we were just talking about before we started recording, is these teams like, you know, the Leafs and the Lightning and the Bruins, like you kind of know where you're at, kind of know where you're going to be, you know, and you're just kind of guiding yourself towards the end of the regular season. What's it like as a player for those teams right now?
It's not easy. I've been in that boat a lot of times, and, you know, you basically players get really good and teams get really good at tricking themselves into, you know, motivating themselves in these situations. So if you've been in a playoff position for a long time, kind of a sure bet to qualify, you know, what you're telling yourself is, okay, we got to keep our good habits. You know, we got to do things the right way, because if we don't, you know, we're going to be, you know, building in the wrong things down the stretch. But having said that, it's not that easy, right? Like the true motivation is still somewhere there underneath, and you can see it, you know, particularly with Toronto and Tampa. I've seen the last few weeks, like they're just a little bit hit or miss, and it's kind of to be expected. You'd think that they'd be motivated to have home ice versus each other, but particularly in Tampa's case, I don't feel like they're all that concerned. They'd rather be well rested and ready to go.
So with that mindset, does something like last night with the Leafs, that when they lose 7-2 to the Islanders, is that, you never want to lose, but is Sheldon Keefe almost sitting there rubbing his hands and saying, now I have something to take to these guys and remind them what you're still playing for?
To be honest, I think in that situation, if you're Sheldon Keefe, you don't come down too hard on him, and you just try to a little bit let it be water off a duck's back. But it's the perfect example, right? Islanders are dialed in. They've been playing playoff hockey for weeks now. I was in Long Island just last week, and when they beat up in a big game against Buffalo, big win for them. And they've just been, I mean, look out for that team, right? When they get in the playoffs, they'll have been playing meaningful hockey and playing like detail-oriented, disciplined hockey for a month and a half. Versus some of these other teams that are still playing loosey-goosey. They've been in the playoffs. They don't really care if they turn pucks over. Like, that's a dangerous team. So I think there's a message clearly from Sheldon Keefe saying, hey, that's a playoff team. That's a playoff game. So we better get ready. But in terms of too much negativity, I think you have to be careful not to undermine the confidence with 10 games to go.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the Islanders and what you said about them playing meaningful games. I wonder, could you say the same with Florida? Florida's also obviously playing meaningful games, but there are times when the Panthers do play a little, you know, loosey-goosey, and it's not always tight. I mean, they outshoot the Flyers by 20 shots last night, Tuesday night, and they lose the game 6-3. So can you say the same about the Panthers as you just did about the Islanders, or is it a little bit different?
It's a little different for me. Like, I've been waiting for the Panthers to kind of, you know, right the ship all season. And it just seems like they win three, then they lose two, and then they win one and lose two more. It's just like they haven't been able to, like, really find. I know they're 7-2-1 in their last 10, which is great, and they're in a playoff spot right now. Pittsburgh's right there. But I just find that offensively, they're always engaged. You know, they've changed the way they played from last year to this year. They're definitely more of a grinding playoff style team offensively, but they're not a playoff team defensively, and they haven't been. I've been just waiting for them to turn it on at some point, and they quite haven't done. No matter what, how many shots you had, giving up six goals to the Flyers is just unacceptable at this stage in the season with where they are in the standings.
And it's kind of the same story in the West, right? You look at the West and you say, oh, we know who some of those top teams are. And then you look at the teams kind of fighting to get in there. And, you know, one good game, one bad game that you talk about, Nashville, Calgary, even Winnipeg now. I mean, Winnipeg went from being first in the division to there's no guarantee they're getting in at this point.
No, exactly. Winnipeg's obviously been one of the coldest teams that everyone thought was a sure bet. Nashville is an interesting one for me. And I was just there last week as well. Like, they're a team that was a seller, and then lo and behold, they're right in the middle of it. And it got hot. You've got UC Saros, who steals games, you know, regularly. But their biggest thing is that, you know, they can't score consistently enough. I know they have put up big games as they did, last night, and, you know, putting up 7 against the Sabres, but, you know, they were almost shut out against the Blackhawks last week, and they get chances, but they just don't finish on their chances. And the West is, it's always tough to predict. That, you know, Minnesota is one for me keeping my eye on. They've been so hot. Their goaltending is definitely the best in the league right now. I mean, between Gustavsson and Fleury, I actually think Gustavsson's been even better. But it's there's no kind of clear favorite over there for me in the West.
And you're going to have the Wild, right? You're going to Philadelphia for their game on ESPN on Thursday night, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So Kaprizov goes out of the lineup because of his injury, and everybody thought, well, the Wild, he was the offense, right? Like, he's the guy. And now they don't have him, yet they've been able to score without him. Does that surprise you? Or is it just like we see a lot? When given opportunity and guys have to step up on good teams, guys step up.
It's happened so often, right? Like, you see a star go out, and I think it just changes the mentality of the group. Number one, defensively, everyone kind of gets this idea that, all right, our best player is out. You know, in order to compete in games and stay in games, we've got to eliminate these bad habits. And all of a sudden, everybody kind of buys into that defensive side. And then on the offensive side, no, you're not just sitting on the bench waiting for Kirill and Zouk to do their thing. It's kind of like, all right, everyone's going to have to chip in. How many fourth line goals have the Wild had in the last couple of weeks? I think Ryan Reeves has, like, you know, 3 goals in his last 5 games or something. So it just changes the mentality of the group. And it's actually, to me, another reason to keep an eye on Minnesota is that, you know, it's a blessing in disguise. They built in these kind of habits and focus as a team, and then they're resting their best player who comes back in. And if you can keep those habits, maybe you've got this special, you know, recipe going into the playoffs. But again, you're looking at the underlying numbers with them. The one thing that's, you know, had a severe uptick in the last few weeks since they started their winning streak is just pure and simple goaltending.
I'm curious what you think about Matt Boldy, right? He's one of those guys that's kind of taken advantage of the black hole that is Kirill, that's not there, and kind of stepped up his game. I remember Bill Guerin telling us when he eventually came to the Wild, they almost considered that a trade, right? Because he was going to inject so much into their lineup, and he did almost immediately. But he seems like somewhat of a different player this year, you know, a little more well-rounded and a little bit more mature.
I think so. I think some of the time when the young players come in, they're obviously, they expect a lot of themselves, but they don't quite have the assertiveness to kind of like be the man. And not in the negative sense that sometimes, you know, you think about, it's just a matter of like the mentality of, okay, you know, the team's relying on me and I'm going to go out and get it done. And last night, good example against the Devils, obviously he scores the OT winner, but it was interesting how he could have changed at any other point. And, you know, if he's not quite an assertive mindset, maybe he changes early and doesn't get the chance he gets at the end of the overtime there to score the winner. And, you know, that was something that the Wild beat writers touched on. And I think there is a real sense of assertiveness when a star goes out. You know, maybe it just picks you up a little bit, like, all right, maybe now's my time to show what I can do, and the team's relying on me.
the West itself, the top of the West, or the top six, I should say, it's kind of, it's wild, right? I mean, 6 points are separating the top six in the West right now. And you look at it in the Central, it's 2 points between Dallas, Minnesota, and Colorado as we speak. And in the Pacific, it's 6 points between Vegas, LA, and Edmonton that separate them. Who's the favorite? Who do you got? Who do you like in the West the most?
Oh, it's tough. Because each of them have been hot, right, since the deadline. Particularly, okay, when you look at Colorado, Minnesota, we already talked about. Colorado's obviously, they were just biding their time and, you know, getting ready to peak for playoffs. So everyone expects them to be a favorite on that side. And Edmonton has quietly just started to say, hey, we're going back to the conference finals, whether you like it or not. Kings with Jonathan Quick, you know, they've been a juggernaut. Vegas with Jonathan Quick have been a juggernaut. But the Kings have, without Jonathan Quick, you know, gone 8-0-2 in their last. I don't know. I think that's what makes the West so interesting. And I also don't necessarily completely buy into this whole idea of the West is that much worse than the East, believe it or not. I know that's an ongoing narrative that the West stinks. They did win the cup last year. And it's hard to tell sometimes because the point totals, you know, like obviously the Eastern teams are playing certain teams more often. So is it that there's some bottom dwellers in the East that everyone's beating up on and inflating their point totals? Or, you know, how do you compare the bottom dwellers in the West to the East? I don't think it's as cut and dry and simple as people often make it out to be in terms of which conference is better. And we all know the star power doesn't always tell the whole story because definitely there was a migration to the East, but hockey's always been a team sport, so we'll see how it shakes out.
Dom, you mentioned Edmonton a little bit. I'm going to ask you a question now. Have we criminally undersold Matthias Ekholm and how good he is throughout his career because of who he's been surrounded with?
So, yes. I think 2 years ago there was talk that he was going to be moved at the deadline. And you know, the word was like, wow, someone's really going to get a really good player here and the price is going to be high. And then he stayed where he was. And then another year went by and, you know, he stayed where he was. And then all of a sudden he's on the move this year and everybody's like, oh yeah, he's really good. He's really good. And I just think it's also a case of the absolute perfect fit for what they needed. Size, reach, you know, the defensive side, you know, he puck moving, so much stability back there. He makes such smart plays, but physically is a force. I don't know if there's been many moves in recent memory that have been like more perfect a fit than Ekholm has been in Edmonton.
Yeah. And the other part of that, right? I mean, he's pretty much a lock to play 21, 22 minutes a night. And he's, you know, it's the steadiness. And I remember, you know, the term you always hear, right? Predictability. He's predictable in a good way, right? I mean, you know exactly what you're going to get. And you can put him on your lineup card and be like, all right, I know exactly what this guy's going to give me. And it's going to be a positive thing all night long, right?
Exactly. It's, I don't know. There's so many players like that they don't necessarily show up on the score sheet, but, you know, this, the value is through the roof. And obviously it often is easy to see in the case, like we've seen with Ekholm, where he has a change of scenery and then the team results pick up and then it's really obvious. But I think there's a lot of cases where we don't recognize those types of players. And even our analytics aren't good enough at recognizing those kinds of players. The other part of that deal, which I think is obviously a key factor, is that without the development of Bouchard, you know, maybe they're not ready to move Barry, right? And have him step into that role and make that whole thing possible. So multiple layers there, but a fantastic job by Edmonton to land him the way they did.
I guess that'll take a little heat off of Ken Holland's back. But is it enough, do you think? You know, you talked about you don't know who the favorites are, and you say Edmonton, you know, is saying they're going to go back to the conference final. Do you believe that with their goaltending?
Well, you just said it. I don't necessarily believe it with the goaltending. I believe it with the team in general. I think they're well coached. I think, you know, I do think something's going on with Draisaitl. He has not been himself. I know he's still producing, but just, you know, there seem to be a lot of miscues there from him. McDavid last year was just off the charts, taking over games in the playoffs, which just we haven't seen anything like that. It's just the goaltending is such a question mark for me. And I know they've had really good stretches throughout the regular season, but all it takes is one bad week to end a season.
Dom, I wanted to flip over to the East with you and ask you this very, very simple question. Has anybody beaten Boston?
Of course. I mean, like, I'm not saying they are for sure, but it's far more possible than people think. Like, this is the NHL, and we already talked about how competitive the Eastern Conference is. We don't have to look too far into history to see a juggernaut Lightning team that everyone thought was unbeatable not only get beat, but get swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets. So absolutely, number one. Number two, there are reasons that you could point to for why that might happen. I mean, they've been basically a lock for the playoffs since, what could we say, November? And, you know, they're not playing, you know, the games that the Islanders are playing right now where their lives are on the line. And yeah, they're still winning them all somehow. But, you know, all of a sudden you're going to be playing a playoff team every night. You're not going to play a playoff caliber team and then, you know, a non-playoff, you know, Philly or Buffalo, like one of these teams that you ring up another win against. So I don't know, the margins get smaller and they're razor thin in the playoffs, and there's a lot of good teams. So it's very plausible, and I would not be surprised if it happened.
I don't know if this is a simple question or not, but do the Penguins get in?
Oh boy. Well, they certainly got cold at the wrong time. That's for sure. And you know, the mood in Pittsburgh is clearly gloomy. If you talk to Penguins fans, they're not enthused about where their team is at. Still, they have that leadership you'd think would get them over the hump. But boy, I don't know. Florida, I don't see the Islanders dropping. I just see them playing really good hockey. I don't know. I think Florida finally figures it out here. The last 10 games where they can see the finish line, I think it's going to be tough. You know, the one team that I thought would make it a little bit more interesting is Buffalo. But they just haven't been able to start dialing in a playing without the puck and playing close games. You know, they've got so much firepower, so much skill, players with the puck on their stick, but this time of year playing without it is more important. And they've fallen because of that.
But do you look at the Sabres as a team that, you know, they'll learn and they'll grow from this? Like it's almost like the understanding of you got to learn what it's like to lose before you really learn how to win.
Well, there's definitely truth to that. There's truth to gaining experience. And that's what they've been saying is that, you know, they don't want to add veterans because they want to learn and want these players to play these meaningful games and learn by trial and error. Having said that, the counter argument to that is, hey, like, you know, we learn from experience. We also learn from veterans. You know, seeing veteran players, how they operate, how they play a tight game in March when their playoffs are on the line. How does their game change? You know, collectively as a group, you know, what kind of things are said in the locker room and done on the ice? You know, they really don't have that in Buffalo. So yeah, that message and those words can come from the coach, but any player will tell you they learn just as much or more from their teammates. And I know, you know, someone like Lou Lamoriello is a big believer in that mentorship side of things, all the way going back to his days in Providence. You know, when you've got seniors, juniors, sophomores, and first years, he believes in that model at the NHL level too, where you have mentors that kind of groom the youngsters versus just having an entire roster of youngsters. I think that's the counter argument.
Last one for me, and you talked about Colorado a little bit earlier, and clearly they're playing some of the best hockey of anybody in the NHL right now, but does just the amount of injuries that they have scare you a little bit about their ability to repeat, or is McKinnon and that group and Rantanen just so experienced now and so confident that it doesn't matter who those other guys are that are kind of put out there?
Well, the one that scares me the most is obviously Kale, and you know, he's been kind of in and out a little bit, and you know, if he goes out, you know, it's just a huge gaping hole with the amount of minutes and the amount of impact he has. So I also don't feel like there's as much separation between them and the pack that they had last year for whatever reason. Hard to break that down quite yet, what the reasons might be. But I think that an injury or two is just the margins aren't there where they can get away with it like they did last year. And so they're far from a sure thing this year, in my view.
All right, Tom, we're going to let you go. But before we do, I wanted to give you the floor a little bit. Talk about the show that you got, NHL Mashup, the YouTube show with Catherine Tapp. And how's it going? You enjoying it so far?
Yeah, thanks. It's been awesome. You know, we going into our third episode, it's been, for those who don't know, it's a really cool concept. Basically, there's so much amazing content being generated around the league from the different teams and all the things that players are doing off the ice. And a lot of times, you know, if you're in one market, you're not seeing the content that's being put out in another market. For instance, Jeff Skinner and his comedy skits that he's been doing in Buffalo, which are absolutely priceless, could be on Saturday Night Live. But, you know, we're kind of packaging those up. And then Catherine Tappan and I present those to our viewers on NHL social channels. And it's a lot of fun. I would love that. If I was a kid, that was exactly the kind of show I would have eaten up as a kid. And obviously working with Catherine again is awesome. She's a total pro and awesome to have her back in hockey and working with her again.
Well, it's great to have you on the show, and definitely check it out. NHL Mashup. It's a great YouTube show with Dom Moore and Catherine Tapp. And Dom, thanks so much for joining us. All right. Really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure.
What a great interview with Dom Moore. It's great to have him on the show. He mentioned Catherine Tapp, and it's so good to have Catherine back involved with hockey again. He's one of my favorite people around the league, and you know, her personality is really allowed to shine in this show. But the other thing that Dom brought up about the show, there's a lot of great stuff on there. There's, you know, the teams produce so much stuff. The prank the Penguins pulled on their defenseman Joseph the other day when they filled his car with packing peanuts was unbelievable. And we talked last week with Hartman about all the pranks that go on there. Like, the personality these guys have when we're not looking at them is really good, and this show captures it. But the one that he talked about that I just got to bring up, because I've actually laughed myself into fits at work, is the Between Two Stalls with Jeff Skinner in Buffalo. It's that takeoff on, you know, interview stories, and it takes place in the locker room, and the set is so bad, and they have like spinning water bottles because they have like a smart water quasi thing going on. But Jeff Skinner is an idiot asking questions. This is basically his persona. And like, he asks Rasmus Dahlin, you know, all these different questions. Sometimes he asks about himself, like he's not there. Like, and the players just lose it because they can't believe that it's their teammate doing it. So, you know, he's had Dahlin on, he's had Tage Thompson on. They've done like three episodes. If you haven't seen it yet, please watch it, because you will laugh out loud. Don't watch it at work like I do, because then people start asking what's going on and why I'm not working very hard. So, but I told them it was research for the podcast, so I'm good.
Yeah, it's hockey stuff, right? It's hockey stuff. It's a takeoff, I think, on the Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis, which is hilarious. So yeah, I actually have not seen this. from Jeff Skinner. I've been meaning to watch it and I need to go watch it now. And I will right after we're done recording, actually.
As soon as I'm done destroying you in the second half of the podcast, you can go watch it to feel a little better about yourself.
Well, I'm just glad you haven't brought up the Sweet 16 again or the round of 32 that Arizona never got to.
I landed the punch. I don't need to. Did. Yeah. There's a code, Dan. There's a code. When you're on the ice, you don't get hit again. So I already dropped you. My hands are by my side.
That's right. The linesmen have pulled you away, thankfully, because you could continue to pummel me on that one.
I'm ready to pick you up now, give you a little pat on the back and say good job.
All right. Thank you very much. It actually plays in perfectly, Sean, with a question I got for the mailbag this week was, you know, obviously the person asking the question is following the NCAA men's basketball tournament too, and was asking if there is a Cinderella in the NHL? Is there one of those teams like an FDU that goes and beats Purdue or, you know, Princeton that beat my Arizona Wildcats? They also beat Missouri, by the way. Okay. So let's not forget that. But anyway, is there a Cinderella team like that? I love the question, you know, and that's what I wrote as much. I love the question, but no, you know, like the answer is no, because there isn't that type of team in the NHL. The parity doesn't lend itself to a Cinderella. We've seen it before. The President's Trophy winner, right? I mean, President's Trophy winner is the best team in the league. They're the number one seed. They've lost in the first round seven times since 1991. You know, most recently, and Don Moore brought it up, like the Tampa Bay Lightning getting swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets. They 62 wins, tied an NHL record. They didn't win a game in the playoffs. They got swept. Columbus, I guess they were wearing the slipper that year, right? I mean, they were the Cinderella that year, if you will. But it's not like totally shocking because the parity in the league. Like if the New York Islanders or the Florida Panthers play the Boston Bruins in the first round, would it be totally shocking if one of those two teams were to knock off the big bad Bruins who've been tops in the league all season long? No, because they're not that distant apart. They're not that far apart. Whereas, you know, you see it in the NCAA men's basketball team. I mean, you got this small school from, you know, New Jersey, Hackensack/Teaneck, New Jersey, that, you know, this small school, and they're playing the big 10 team in Purdue, or a small Ivy from New Jersey and Princeton playing the big Arizona team. That's totally different than what we see in the NHL. So Cinderella, no, I just don't get it. I don't buy it.
Well, to me, Cinderella is a little different, right? Like, look, anything can happen in the first round. But if you can make that run, like I look at that Kings team that was the 8 seed and ran all the way to the championship, to me, that's a Cinderella, right? Like, that's what I look at. I look at teams that you don't think have a chance to win the cup, and maybe they can. Like, I thought Dom made a great point about the New York Islanders and how they're dialed in and they're playing playoff hockey right now. I don't think it's going to matter against Boston. So then, you know, they'll be done, or whoever comes out of the Metro. Like, I think those teams are playing too well right now. Although, you know, if somehow the Rangers get to first place or even the Devils, you got to get that Metro rivalry going and that could play into it. But the team for me, and we talked a lot about it, like, I don't think anybody thinks they can win the cup, but I think they can make a really deep run, is the Minnesota Wild. Look, even if they win the Central Division, is anybody sitting here when the playoffs start and saying, oh, I really like that Wild team? I think they're going to be in the cup final against the Bruins or against Tampa Bay or whoever you're going to pick out of the East. I don't think so, but I do. I think they are a team that could win three rounds and be sitting when we get to the winner take all and be the team out of the West.
I have the Wild number 4 in my Super 16. This week you have them number 5, so both of us obviously believe in them.
And but do you believe that they can win the cup?
They wouldn't be my pick, but I wouldn't be stunned if they were to get out of the West. You know, they would not be my pick at this point. I don't know who my pick is at this point. Maybe they would be, to be honest with you, if they keep rolling through the rest of the regular season here. They finished first in that division. Maybe they would be. They got goaltending. They got defense. They, you know, with Kaprizov coming back, they'll have their best offensive player. They obviously can score without him. So other, like, you know, other guys have taken some ownership of this as well. Maybe they would be. I don't know. At this point, I'm not ready to say yes or no on that, but I love the way they're playing. I mean, you look, go back a little over a month. They're 12-1-3 since February 17th. In that time, They're tied for first in wins. They have the best points percentage, 844, and they have the best goals against average, the lowest goals against, at 2.06 per game. So they're winning the way you need to win to have success in the playoffs. They're finding offense from multiple different sources. They're getting really good goaltending, and their defense is strong. They're generating a lot of shots. They're not giving up a ton. I mean, they're winning playoff style with a playoff style hockey right now. So I don't know. Maybe I would say the Wild.
Maybe they're not Cinderella. Maybe they're Sleeping Beauty. But I just want all the fans listening at home to know that Dan just reeled off all those numbers, and I didn't see him look down.
Nope.
So they're like committed into his head. He's like Rain Man.
Yeah. Well, you know what it was? So I sent in the Super 16 today. It goes up on the site at the end of the games tonight. And Bill Price, our boss, sent me an email back. Wild number 4? Come on. So I was like, well, I got to fight back. And I fought back with those numbers. So now I remember them. That's what it was. And it just happened shortly before we started recording. But, you know, the Wild, they've been arguably the best team in the NHL for the past month. And that's not a blip. Like, that's a month is not a blip. A month is not a hot streak. A month is enough time. We're talking about almost 20 games, which 20 games is a quarter of the season. So it is for real that the Minnesota Wild are like this. And I continue to be impressed by them. I would not be surprised if they finished first. I think right now the best team in that division is probably Colorado. And the Wild are number 2. Dallas is starting to fade a little bit. I'm starting to wonder a little bit about the Dallas Stars.
So then that's my pick. Whoever's number 3 in the Central is my pick as the Cinderella. I would happily take Dallas.
Now, the Cinderella would be, and even though they've been in the playoff mix pretty much all season, it would be Seattle. You know, like they would be the definition of that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not buying it.
Are you not buying them as having a chance, or not buying them as like that? You know, the comparison.
I'm not buying it as them having a chance.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, and that's the thing. It's interesting. I was hearing this earlier today. It was on NHL Network Radio. They were talking about the Kraken, and they're like, oh, they can score. They can score. They're really good. They can score. I think it's like 11 or 12 or 13, 10 goal scorers and whatnot, but not one of them is like the go-to scorer. And guys like that, the 10 goal scorers, they don't always shine in the playoffs. So you're going to find somebody that's going to come out and be the guy for you. Who's going to be the man, right? That comes out and carries you a little bit offensively. I don't know that they even have one of those guys.
Yeah, no. And maybe that guy's Matty Beniers, but he's been stuck in neutral.
Yeah. And he's a rookie too. So yeah, it's a lot.
No, he's played more games than ever. Maybe the league's catching up to him a little bit. He has not been the dynamic scorer that he was before. So I don't think they're dynamic enough.
No.
And they're not good enough in goal. So I'm not buying it. And they're going to most likely, now that they've slid out of the top 3, they're going to face a really good team in the first round.
Yeah, they certainly will. They'll face a very good team in the first round. And I agree with you. What about this? What about Florida with Matthew Tkachuk being the go-to guy here? And Matthew Tkachuk, for me, Sean, has played. He should be in the Hart Trophy conversation. He absolutely should be. He's fourth in the league in scoring right now. He's got 96 points. He's putting the Panthers on his back. And that's why they got him, because he was that type of player that could do things like that, right? It's Connor McDavid running away with it. We know that, whether you agree with that or not, that's what it's happening, you know? But at least in the conversation, I think Matthew Tkachuk should have his name thrown around in it.
Of course he should. He's been unbelievable, and you don't think Calgary looks and says, where would we be with a player like that right now? Like, that's probably the difference of them being outside the top 8 in the West and being inside it. Not even the points, the attitude, you know. But for me, the key has been, for Florida, has been Bobrovsky. He's finally played well, and that's helped them, right? They've ridden him hard, and that's what's gotten him back in the playoff picture. Look, I would like to say that they could be, that they've learned their lessons from last year, and they clearly have a very good team. But I don't believe anybody can beat Boston in the first round. I don't believe that the Islanders can. I don't believe that Florida can. I don't believe that Pittsburgh can if they get in. If Buffalo or Ottawa make a run, none of those teams are beating Boston in the first round. So you can talk about it however you want. I just, to me, Florida would be a bit of a Cinderella story if they got in. And they won a game or two, but I don't think they're advancing. They're not surviving and advancing.
They're the President's Trophy winners from last year, so they're not exactly a Cinderella, you know? They're interesting, though, because 6-0-1 in seven games, find themselves in that playoff position. You got a game against the Philadelphia Flyers. You're rolling, but you don't have room for error. They outplay the Flyers. They outshoot the Flyers. They lose to the Flyers 6-3. And they come off that game, and Paul Maurice, rightfully, don't blame him at all, says, we didn't think we were going to win all these games that we were playing in the last 20 here. You're not going to go 20-0, right? So you take the good from it and you move on to the next one. The next one's against Toronto on Thursday for them. You can't lose to the Philadelphia Flyers. You can't. If you're the Florida Panthers, and I get it, you're playing well and you're not going to win them all, but man, you got to find a way when you're out playing a team like that. Those points matter. They could have put a nice cushion there and they lose 6-3 to the Flyers. Instead, they make it really hard on themselves.
Yeah, they do. And you put that as a win naturally. And I think that was part of the problem. But look, that's happening all over the league.
Yeah.
Right.
Look at Arizona, by the way.
Yeah. Arizona, red hot. Look at Columbus last night. You don't think Washington needed those 2 points? And somehow Columbus puts up 6 on the Capitals and then wins, you know, in overtime. But like, that's a huge point. When you look at the end of the year and the Capitals are sitting on the outside, like, those are the games you look at and say, how did we not win that game? Ottawa snuck up on people, right? Buffalo needed to win last night against a Nashville team that had been blown out its game before and didn't do it. Like, there's teams all over this league that are lying in wait. Look at what San Jose did to Edmonton the other night before Edmonton mm-hmm. came back late and won. Like, there are no, you talked about the parity in the playoffs. It's the parity of the whole league. You know, you mentioned Arizona. I don't know if you saw.
Oh, I saw.
I stuck them in. Number 16, baby.
Yeah, I saw. It's not a bad call. I mean, until losing to Winnipeg, they had points in 6 straight. I think they had won 4 in a row, right?
Yeah, they had points, I thought, in 8 straight.
8 straight. Okay, even better, you know, and they had won a bunch
Clayton
in a
Keller
row.
Keller's been one of the 3 best players in the league since the All-Star break. Like, he's scoring at a Connor McDavid-like pace.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the only date that right now matters for the Arizona Coyotes is May 16th, and that's when they'll find out for real if they're getting their arena or not. It, you know, and that's going to be huge for them if it happens, and it's going to be another story if it doesn't. Maybe we'll
I thought you
it.
Meant the draft lottery.
Well, that matters too, obviously. Okay, all right, that matters too. That's important as well, but I don't know which is more important for them, the draft lottery potentially getting Bedard or getting an arena. It's the arena,
who knows. But we're getting the cut signal from producer Bob Bender to get out of here. 2 really quick things before we get out of here. 1, congratulations to David Quinn.
Yeah.
Been named the head coach of the U.S. men's national team for the world championships. I know we don't pay a whole lot of attention to the world championships because it happens in the middle of Stanley Cup playoffs, but great honor. And that team's going to be loaded. When you look at some of the NHL teams that aren't going to make the playoffs, they're going to put together a pretty good team, I think. And the other thing is the NCAA tournament, not basketball, but hockey starts this weekend with the regionals. 16 teams playing for the right to play in the Frozen Four. A lot of great NHL future talent, either players that have been drafted, undrafted free agents. As these big teams, Michigan and all those teams, start to lose and get eliminated, those players are eligible to come to the NHL. Players like Luke Hughes and other players of that ilk. So it's great hockey. I highly suggest you watch it. The conference championships were unbelievable. The Hockey East Championship was fantastic. I know you don't watch, Dan, because you have a lot to do and you don't really care. But for anybody else out there who likes hockey, you're going to see future NHL stars and you're going to see a great brand of hockey. So the regionals are this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the Final Four in Tampa. I'm still trying to weasel my way down there for the Final Four, but I don't think they call it the Frozen Four. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't know if you did this on purpose, but we can promo our friends Adam Kimmelman and Mike Morial from the NHL Draft Class podcast, because they had on Michigan coach Brandon Nerado, who talked about Adam Fantilli as the number 2 prospect in the draft this year behind Connor Bedard. So listen to that, listen to Draft Class. But certainly we thank you for listening to this podcast at the Rink. Thank Dom Moore for jumping on with us, and we'll do it again next week, Sean. So everybody enjoy the hockey.